Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. I'm your host and moderator, Troy Skinner. The Frederick Faith Debate is brought to us by AllShred Mobile Document Destruction, shredding today for growth tomorrow, and Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? If you were listening last week, you heard us have Jonathan Schweitzer and Mike Campbell square off on Christianity and Buddhism. Representing the Buddhist side, Mike Campbell from the Tibetan Meditation Center and Jonathan Schweitzer on the Christian side from the, not that we're choosing sides per se, but I'm trying to make this simple for you. I really got us off to a bad start, didn't I?
Yeah. Here we go.
Anyway, from Crosser Valley, did I say that already? Jonathan Schweitzer, Crosser Valley Chapel?
So I don't want to get into anything.
Anyway, at the beginning of last week's show, I outlined real briefly what a general understanding of Buddhism is. I think it did an okay job, not as good as I could have. I'm going to do that again this week in a slightly different form so that it won't be overly repetitive. Buddhism began about 2,500 years ago in India with a man that we now call Buddha or the Enlightened One. Buddha is considered by some to be divine, others not divine, and simply a great teacher who left behind an example that those who are seeking enlightenment should find within themselves rather than seeking it from outside support. Morally, Buddhists follow the five precepts. No killing, including animals, as I understand it from what I've read, although Mike's shaking his head.
That's true. No killing.
Okay. No stealing, no illicit sex, no wrong speech, which would include gossip, and no drugs or alcohol. Okay, he's nodding. I'm doing okay. Buddhists believe in the Four Noble Truths. They are that life is basically suffering or dissatisfaction, that the cause of suffering is craving or grasping. Suffering ends with the cessation of craving, and people can escape craving and a continued rebirth by following the Noble Eightfold Path, which we talked a little bit about last week. We might get into a little bit more this week, but we can get bogged down in some pretty heady philosophical stuff when we do that. But we will. I think it'll be natural that it'll come up. I want to ask a couple of general questions because people might not know, including possibly me. The idea concept of God. Buddhists believe in God, don't believe in God, and what is the idea of?
There is no creator God in Buddhism, although in the Vajrayana, in the Mahayana school of Buddhism, actually in all of the schools of Buddhism, there's six realms, and one of them is called the God realm. So there are people who live like the Greek gods. You know, there's that realm of beings, but there's no singular creator God.
Ultimate creator God.
Yeah. And what there is instead is this notion of karma, and karma, really quickly would get into very heady stuff. But we talk about a mind stream of consciousness which isn't like spirit, but is kind of like spirit, and it goes from one birth to another birth, and during the period between when you die, then you go into this thing called the bardo, and then you choose to be reborn in one of these other realms, which are
now, I do want to talk about that because that is the part that a lot of people who don't know a lot about Buddhism, they think they understand that about it. You know, you hear people talk about karma all the time and reincarnation and things like that. So we want to talk about that. But what is the Buddhist conception of how the universe came into being? If you don't have a creator God, do you have a view
on
that?
Is there a beginning?
The answer to that question is that Buddhism came out of Hinduism, so that the cosmology, if you will, is pretty similar to that of Hinduism. However, when specifically asked those questions, the Buddha, who was really just a pragmatic kind of guy, said, "I don't know." You know, and people said, "Well, you know, what's life after death like?" And he said, "I don't know. I didn't die yet." You know, so
what is the Hindu cosmology? Because I don't know the answer to that question either.
It could take a long time, but basically, that you know, that time and space are infinite, and that somewhere in that infinity, these very, very, very subtle notions of karma. And I can't tell you how they began, and is it and then it kind of gets denser and denser, and eventually it becomes, you know, it's like mental at first, or, you know, ethereal at first, and then it gets denser and denser, and then you get planets and bodies. And
so is that like the second law of thermodynamics, like karma was getting worse and worse, and so kind of things were going downhill? Or
well, and
what?
Then they have this whole thing called kalpas, and there's a...
Is that
Kali
like a mea
yogas,
culpa?
Which are, you know, these tens of millions of years, you know, they're
so they
billions of years.
They don't really talk about a beginning per se. There is kind of a vague kind of idea, but there's really no beginning.
Yeah.
And for that matter, there's really no ending either.
That's correct. And they just don't.
No beginning,
you know,
no ending.
But when you become enlightened, I mean, one of the things that happens
then
you
have an ending.
Is that you don't have an end. If you have peri-nirvana,
you
have an ending. But part of this notion of enlightenment is that you just become open to
whatever.
To all of time and all of space. That those concepts, you become free of those concepts, and all of the ego things that are the result of being in time and space, like fear of death and, you know,
well,
all those.
All right, you're getting heady for me.
Okay, here we go.
All right, let's ask some grassroots questions.
Yes. Okay.
Things people want to know about.
Okay.
What happens when I die?
Well, that's what he was just saying.
The Buddhist
you go
said,
into this.
I don't know.
Me. I'm not a Buddhist. What happens to me when I die?
Oh.
Well, let's see. The answer, I don't know the answer because I haven't died and neither have you. So the
so
answer,
it's just a pragmatic question
but,
we don't really know.
Yeah. So, well, the theory is, or the explanation by people who have attained high levels of meditation and have looked into these things at that level are that you have this karma. And it goes to previous lifetimes, and that
you got baggage, baby. That's what it's saying.
That you
have baggage.
You got baggage.
When you
and,
die, all your baggage is gonna force you to choose certain options for
now,
your
whether
next
I know
life.
It or not. I had
yes.
a previous life.
Yeah, that's what
yeah,
he's
you
saying.
Had countless previous lives
as a human or in other
life
forms too.
Yeah, again, there's these. There's
depends
these
on what
different
which kind of Buddhist
levels.
You are.
There are different realms out there, and one of them is called the six realms, and
you could have been a god, you could have been a demon, you could have been an animal, you could have been, you know, just
the
a human.
The lowest one is the hell realms,
yeah,
and then that's really just pretty similar. If you've ever read Dante or anything like that, you know, it really is just you know, Old Testament, you know, fire and all those things.
Now, is there anybody alive who is alive for the first time who doesn't have a previous life?
I can't answer that question.
Okay.
I'm clueless.
It's possible, but then. But you just don't have any way of knowing.
Yeah. I've never
Buddhism
heard
doesn't attempt to answer that question.
Buddhism doesn't attempt
to
answer
that
question.
Okay.
Now, at some point in the process, I die or one of us in this room dies.
Let's certainly will.
And, well, yeah, that's...
Okay, cool. We agree.
We agree.
There it is. We agree.
We would go into some other existence, and then we would choose a new life to come back as. That would I understood you to say before. We would choose how to re-enter.
Based on the karma.
Well,
there's certain choices that would present themselves.
There's a big difference in this original school, the Theravadan school, which I really can't talk academically
about.
Okay, just
generalize
for us. Well, and the Mahayana school, and I think in the Theravadan school or the early school, that when you die, you just die. And I don't want to go any further than that because I don't understand. But in the Mahayana school, you can go on and on forever.
Now, is each life an improved life?
No.
Or you can take steps backwards and have...
Definitely, yeah. Well, and yeah, just depending on what...
Well, like that's how our prostitute friend got here.
Yeah.
Is that she might have had a better life last time, but she didn't handle it very well, and she did a poor job with her better life. And so because she did so many bad things and thought the wrong way, she was brought back, and she's paying the price now for what happened previously.
Right. And so
it's almost like purgatory, but you're living through purgatory, trying to ascend to a higher
place.
Yeah,
and it can be, again, it can be as a hell being. It can be as what's called a hungry ghost person who's described as having this huge belly and this little teeny mouth, and so they can never get enough. So if you die,
that's a funny idea.
Yeah,
Big belly, small mouth.
Yeah, if you
know what, I relate to that my whole life. Big belly, small mouth. Well, I can't get enough in fast
enough. You're going to be reborn in the
He can relate to it,
realm.
But he doesn't resemble it.
That's right.
He's got a big belly and a big mouth.
Yeah, you'd think I could fit more in there, wouldn't you?
Right.
Okay, well.
And then there's the animal realms, and then the human realms, and then what's called the Titan or demigod realms, and the god realms, and they're related to the negativities. And the negativity of the hell realm is if you die and with anger, then you are reborn in the hell realms. If you die with lust and gluttony, then you're reborn in the hungry ghost realms. If you're if you die and you're just ignorant, you don't get it, then you're reborn in the animal realms. If you die and you have
That's
envy, then you are reborn in the demigod realms.
Yeah.
And if you die with ego, with pride being your main personality structure, then you're reborn in the god realms. And if you're reborn in the god realms, then you have all this god stuff, like in again, like the Greek gods.
Like power.
Then, yeah, and you live for 500 years, but after 300 years, every night when you go to sleep, you dream that you're going to be reborn in the hell realms, which is what ultimately happens. Mm-hmm. And so you have this, like, 200 years of nightmares.
So where do those guys hang out? Do they hang out on Mount Olympus?
Yeah, if you could find Mount Olympus, yeah.
Okay, just one. Okay.
Now, what is what's the right word here? The original source, or what is the foundation of the teaching, of the understanding of what you just explained? Where does this tradition and this
from Buddha?
So he had these visions or these understandings, and he wrote them down.
And I've studied with like current teachers, like one guy who had been in 16 years in meditation, and another person, Garchen Rinpoche, who got enlightened, became enlightened in a Chinese prison camp in Tibet. And both of them said very emphatically, you know, you guys might think that this is just a, you know, an analogy, but the truth of the matter is it's real because I've been there. You know, I've been in meditation states in which I've had that kind of suffering. So, you know, so again,
freedom, you mean?
But again, that, you know, Buddhism always refers things back to the to what our mind perceives, you know. So if you're this prostitute and, you know, you go out and, you know, you do a good trick and the person's nice and you get a lot of money, you know, then that's a good night for you, you know. And if you go out and you get some slob then it's a bad night.
But there is absolute right and wrong, right? I mean, like, there's still a sense that you shouldn't lie, you shouldn't cheat,
you shouldn't
steal.
There's the 10 virtues.
And that's where the judgment comes from, but
the
judgment comes through karma
from
a previous life.
But you don't call it sin. It's more of an ignorance to what the right way of behaving is. Is that
No,
lack
it's
of
habitual
compassion?
Tendency. And we talked during the break about the causes and conditions. And a lot of that has this notion of karma, which we call habitual tendencies. Mm. So our mind has the habit of, you know, being slothful or, you know, being avaricious or whatever those things are. So when we're presented with situations, then that's the thing that clicks in.
Right.
You know, and so the Eightfold Path, you know, is the way that you go through the training that dismembers, dissolves that habit and in turn creates a different habit. And I'm sure that's the same practice that you do in Christianity, is learning a different habitual way to be.
Yeah, I don't want to make the mistake of assuming that every single person listening to the show would know what the Christian view is. So maybe if we could take a moment, Jonathan, what is the answer to the question of, you know, what happens when we die? Do we come back in these cycles, or is there let me just ask it simply.
Great.
What happens when a person dies from
the
Christian
point of view? The classic Christian perspective on that is that you have one life. When you die, then there's the judgment, and at the judgment seat, Christ himself will open the book and look at all the things that you've done, the good and the bad, and you'll be judged on that basis. And that ultimately the question is going to come down to, with all the good and the bad things that you've done, the question is going to come down to, okay, why should he allow you to spend eternity in his holy presence. And the only answer to that is going to be according to Christianity, because I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ and because I place my total faith in Christ's suffering and death on the cross, and that will then pay the price for the sins of the past and allow us to spend eternity with God in heaven.
Good. So, wow, that's like the shortest answer he's ever given.
Amazing.
You know, it's good.
So yes. can I bounce off that?
Oh,
please.
Sure.
Yeah.
So an interesting concept in the Mahayana Buddhism is the concept of the Bodhisattva.
Okay.
And so a person who is – so there's these various levels of enlightenment,
okay,
which end in being equal to the Buddha, attaining a level of understanding that's equal to the Buddha,
okay,
called Buddhahood.
Okay.
And as soon as you have that first one, then you enter the path to – of the Bodhisattva. And the Bodhisattva is someone who chooses to be reborn in a situation in which they can help other beings.
Okay.
You know, so...
So you've reached enlightenment, but like you might come back as like a Dalai Lama to help other people know what it means to reach enlightenment.
Yeah, or you might come back as a prostitute, or you might come back as a hell being, you know.
By choice.
Yeah, by choice. But because of your understanding,
yeah,
then what we would normally consider suffering isn't the case anymore, that we don't have that level of suffering because we don't have ignorance.
Hmm.
You know, we have the wisdom of knowing. Of knowing what the true nature of reality is.
Okay.
That's the the okay was the voice of Jonathan Schweitzer from Crossroads Valley Chapel, the pastor there, and the voice before that, for a slightly more extended period of time before Jonathan's okay, was that of Mike Campbell, who is a member of the board of directors for the Tibetan Meditation Center here in Frederick. Buddhism, Christianity, there's two things, and we've got about maybe a little less than 15 minutes left, and I don't know if we have time to flesh these out as well as we would like.
Yeah.
But there are two main things that I think need to be talked about.
Okay.
One is the idea of nirvana, because that's something that even non-Buddhists have heard of. We think we have a sense of what that means, but I don't think we really have a clear understanding of what that means. Maybe the Buddhists can't give us an understanding. Maybe it's not – who knows? But I want to talk about the idea of nirvana, what it is, that sort of thing. And I also want to talk about the person of Jesus, because there is some shared history there. Buddhists have some sort of a belief in Jesus as him being some sort of a
Bodhisattva.
A Buddha, well, that word he just said.
Bodhisattva, yeah.
So I want to talk about those two things. First, maybe we can start with nirvana. I know it's difficult. It's like asking a Christian to explain the Trinity, I'm sure. You know,
We have a Trinity too, but we won't go there.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it piqued my interest. Can you do that in 45 seconds?
Trimurti?
Pardon?
Is that the Trimurti or is that Hindu?
Oh, it's the...
anyways, yeah.
Yeah, it's the three... it's body, speech, and mind. But, we don't want to go there.
Distraction. Okay.
It would be a good show next time or
right,
something.
Yeah, right, okay. Okay,
right. Okay, well, so Nirvana.
Nirvana.
So, if you... and I think that you did a nice job when you were introducing it to say that there's suffering and then there's the end of suffering, and so basically nirvana would be the end of suffering.
So is there love in nirvana? Do you love?
Well,
peace?
Yeah, yeah. There is. In the Tibetan system, we don't much use the word nirvana, so I'm kind of struggling for it.
Isn't that the ultimate... Like really arrived when you've achieved nirvana.
Yeah,
actually, that's the ultimate pinnacle of the goal. Right?
In the Theravadan school,
dissatisfaction, yeah.
In the early school, then nirvana was the highest level of meditative realization that you could attain, and I think that the way that we describe it in the Vajrayana school is that you get to a place, you know, where you're just in this bliss. You know, you go in your cave and you just get into this bliss. And again, for all you Theravadins that are listening, I'm sure this is incorrect, and forgive me. In the Mahayana school, then we don't talk about that. We talk about bodhisattvas, and we talk about levels of meditative enlightenment and becoming a Buddha, you know, in which case everything you do and everything you say automatically moves a person towards attaining enlightenment.
All right. Well, I'm not sure that I have any clear understanding, except that I know that Nirvana is more than a than an alternative rock band from the early
90s. Right, right.
And it smells nothing like Teen Spirit.
One more thing. Let me say one more thing, which is that that in the Vajrayana practice or in the Mahayana practice, that getting attached to Nirvana is not any different than getting attached to samsara or the world of suffering. That in either case, you end up
Shouldn't long for Nirvana.
Yeah. So, and if your desire is only for your own well-being, if that's what you want to do, is get yourself away from suffering, then ultimately you end up just with your ego again. You know, I'm trying to escape suffering. So, in the Mahayana school, you know, we don't do that. We stay as a bodhisattva. We continue to work for all people to become enlightened.
Okay. Person of Jesus, what is the Buddhist understanding of who Jesus of Nazareth is?
Generally not not much of a discussion. And, you know, I've actually talked to some Tibetans about it, and they just kind of go, you know. So they themselves don't have a thing. But I think in the West, we would say that he has attained enlightenment, and he is on the path to Buddhahood. And he's in... You know, he's one of those bodhisattvas who's transcending the path to become a fully enlightened Buddha.
Okay, so he was on the way, but not there yet.
Well, the answer is I don't know. But in Buddhism, we would say he hadn't attained Buddhism.
Right.
Buddhahood.
So he was a lower level type Buddha person.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Now, do Buddhists subscribe at all to New Testament writings or anything like that?
I mean, we have our whole long literature. I mean, you know, but we're not book oriented. I mean, there's no Bible. You know, there are the teachings of the Buddha. You know, which were like Christianity were written down sometime after Buddha did. And I think that, again, that the Theravadins are more book oriented, perhaps than the Vajrayana people.
Can I ask this question? Then would you say that the Buddhist idea of Nirvana, would you say it's similar to the Christian idea of heaven or different?
I would say...
How is it similar and how is it different?
Well, I don't know very much about the Christian notion of heaven, so it's a little hard. I mean, it's not...
The Christian notion of heaven claims that we're going to live forever and that that Jesus is going to be there with us forever, that we'll be worshiping him, that there'll be a love relationship and connection with one another, that there will be an eternity, in where we're still a person separate, but that there will be an intimacy of closeness that, you know, will be eternal.
Yeah, I don't that's not something that the Buddhists
So that's different.
Yeah, that's quite different.
Because there's in the Buddhist perspective, there's no personhood.
There's no nobody.
There's no recollection of who you are as a person, and there's no desires again. Like when I from a Christian idea of heaven, I'll desire to be with God, and He'll desire to be with me, and I'll desire to be with the others that are in heaven, and there'll be that sense of personhood and separate but together.
Right.
But there's not that in Buddhahood.
So somebody said to me the other day in this class that isn't happening tonight. Somebody said that the most difficult part of the whole path is to go from the highest step before Buddhahood to Buddhahood, and the reason that's the case is because a person on that highest level has no personal desire for his or herself, and the
and
only
so why
way
bother
that that
trying
person
to take
well
the
not
extra
only that
step.
But the only way they can get to be a Buddha is to want to be a Buddha,
right?
And so it's kind of like this almost serendipitous thing, you know, because they have no desire for themselves. What they have, though, is a desire for every sentient being in all of time and all of space to become free from suffering.
We have just a little bit of time left. I'm going to ask an either-or question, meaning that you can you can answer either-or of the two questions. All right, you can either or you can blend the two, because I wish I had time to ask them both, but I'm going to blend them. Why are you – I'm going to ask Mike first, I guess. Why are you a Buddhist would be the either. The or would be, why are you not a Christian?
Mm-hmm. I grew up in a Christian family. It didn't stir my heart. And as soon as I started reading about Buddhism, it stirred my heart. There was something about this notion of enlightenment that intrigued me. And I began, you know, studying and looking at it. And that was many years ago, almost 40 years ago.
And what which part of the a Christian world did you grow up in?
I grew up in as a Roman Catholic.
Roman Catholic.
Yeah. Right.
Same either or, only reversing, of course. Why are you a Christian and why are you not a Buddhist?
My concern with Buddhism is that I sense a denial of, you know, who we are as people. I'm of the opinion that God made us with desires to be fulfilled, and that this great wedding feast that we're going to have one day that is all about love and being connected with one another, that there's a sense of impersonal, you know, you're just trying to reach this enlightenment and it's kind of all alone, even though you do want everybody else to be enlightened, but you don't really interact with the rest of those guys. My sense is just that there's a community element of desire and love and relationship that is in Christianity that has just captured my heart.
Well, this was good. Hopefully you will be agreeable to coming on again. We'd love to have you on and find some other, there are a zillion different facets that we can explore. Mike Campbell, member of the board of directors for the Tibetan Meditation Center, representing Buddhism on the show today. Jonathan Schweitzer, the pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel here in Frederick, representing the Christian perspective. I am Troy Skinner, the host of the Frederick Faith Debate, brought to us by Allshred and Putman Plumbing and Heating. Thanks so much for listening. What are we doing next time? I think next time is...
somebody who thinks they have spoken with the dead.
Yeah, what happens when we die? Some reincarnation issues? Can we speak to the dead? Those sorts of issues. Ought to be pretty interesting. Anyway, until then, God bless.